Last Sunday morning, the Lord took us on what I would call a mini side trip. He has a right to do that. He is the commander-in-chief. He really is our everything. And he used Gary to bring forth a message when trouble comes. In my opinion, or in my heart's desire inside of me, I would consider last Sunday morning and put a pigtail on it for the service that took place Sunday evening at Calling in the Lost. I would consider that the Holy Spirit brought forth a classic. In one of Gary's opening statements that the Holy Spirit had him say, he said that a function of, he actually said his function, but the function of a teacher was to stand and tell what they hear, not what they know. You first have to have the capacity to hear what he's saying before you're at that level of being able to teach. The Lord Jesus lived there. We know he only said what he heard the Father say. He only went where the Father told him to go. He only did what the Father told him to do. And he lived there. So my recommendation, primarily to the prayer center, and also primary to everyone that's out there on the internet, that consistently receives the teaching from the prayer center, that I would go get that message. I would go get that, and I would put it in your library of foundational stones for your walk with the Lord. To the extent that it is the truth, it is the truth, and everything else that you believe, everything else you hear, contrary to that is not the truth. And I would listen to it until you know that the Holy Spirit says, you've taken ownership of it. And we possibly will get into that a little bit today. But it is a truth that you can just not hear and not own. As we walk through these times of trouble or of life, it would be good that you have assimilated that message and all the scriptures, etc., to where you are able to give it out when somebody comes to you with trouble. This last week, there has been a significant amount of trouble, and those that I've been a privilege to be a part of, my only desire would have been to take and say, listen to this, read this, and go pray. Because there was nothing that I had that I could add to the truth that had already been delivered. And in the correspondence that comes within the ministry, it sure will reduce the level of time to handle individuals that are going through difficulty. Here, the Lord has spoken. Listen to this. Read this. Do this, etc. Okay. If you go to Ephesians, I sort of should semi-warn you or encourage you that we will be all over the place this morning, and you most likely will not be able to keep up with everything, but I will try to go at the speed of walking and not running so that you can keep notes if you so desire. If not, you know where the messages can be found, and it'll be there. Okay. A year ago about this time, the Lord gave us a single verse for us to adhere to that began our walk, began a new lifestyle into Him. And it was the verse in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. And the way it was delivered to us by the Holy Spirit was, He in essence said, this is the key verse. He didn't say this is the key chapter, nor did He say this is the key book. It is. But like He always does, He narrows it down and hits you right in the middle of your heart and says, don't forget this. I'm going to make it real, real plain. I'm going to deliver it in love. I'm going to be gentle. But it's also going to be peaceable, and it's going to be easy to be understood. But one thing and one thing only, you need to begin this new season, if you want to call it a season, with this verse. Don't leave this verse. Meditate on this verse. Continually dwell in this verse. Don't become sidetracked. Don't become double-minded. Stay in this verse. Ephesians 5:14. Wherefore He saith, or wherefore I say to the prayer center, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. How many of you feel as though, honestly now, how many of you feel as though a year from when that first was spoken, that you can say that you're walking in more light, abundantly? Okay. I feel as though that I'm walking in less light than I was a year ago. I know that I'm not, but I feel as though that I am. And evidently, the light that is now coming forth has been so illuminating and showing us the future of each one of our lives and what we're called to do and who we are in Christ and everything has shined so much into who we could be or who we will be and who He wants us to be, that where we once were with the light that we had, pretty easy. I shouldn't say pretty easy, but contented, you know, according to this verse, asleep. And as we began to do this message, and then we began to read Ephesians and all that we've been told to do and all that we've heard, the light has become brighter and brighter and brighter. And you're almost wondering if you ever will become. And yes, you will, because he also says you will. At the same time, when the light began to come forth, the second theme of a year ago, and still the theme today, is for us to begin to walk in, hear, believe the authority that we have as sons of God. How many of you over the last year, I'm really talking to myself, incidentally, I'm trying to not look at anybody, but how many of you feel as though you're walking in more authority? You know, Tim, do you think you're walking in more authority than you were a year ago? Duh. No. I know it's there. I can quote and talk about some experiences, but in relationship to the light that has come forth in reading and listening to Ephesians, I know there's so much more. My heart's desire, I've asked the Lord about this more than once recently. I get more excited over hearing about your successes and over your victories and over your accomplishments than I do my own. I look at every one of you. I mean, there's not a single person that I don't look at, and the desire within my heart is for you to fulfill your call beyond anything that you can imagine. I mean, I just like to sit back. I'd like to be God, incidentally, and sit back and see all that you're going to accomplish. And the variety that you're going, and how you're going to accomplish it, and the variety of victories and successes. It, you know, and when we just get a little, when I just get a little taste of it, and when I see the maturity, I'll talk about last Sunday morning when we had fellowship. I've never been a part of that level of fellowship within a body. And the maturity, it's the only word that I can come up with, the maturity of the body compared to a year before or 2 years before when we had that type of fellowship. At the beginning of this year, the message that came forth, or the word from the Lord that came forth, was that now we've heard it, and we've listened, and we've listened, and we've listened. And incidentally, we need to continue to listen and listen and listen more. But this year, the Lord was saying, now is the time to begin to walk in it. We have walked in some of it, but he's asking us to walk in more of it. To do that, we still need to be able to hear it. Gary happened to be the voice that the Lord said through him that this was the year that we are to walk in it. I heard another voice, or I heard the same voice, but I heard it another way. And I began to hear it about the first part of December, and it had to do more with the functions that I'm to be a part of within this body. That is, he began to say, we need to begin to make disciples. Now, if you are like me, I do not like the word make. my soul doesn't want anybody to make me something. My spirit is rejoicing because the making that is going to be taking place is going to be the making of what the Holy Spirit does. It also states, or also means to me, that there is another separation coming. And I don't like the feeling of that either. I enjoyed hearing the Lord say, what was it, 2004? He first said, the slow will go slower, and the fast will go faster. I enjoyed hearing him say, no longer stop. No longer stop and pick up those that have fallen. Because if you continue to do that, you will not win your race. And he assured us that he himself would stay with those individuals and be sure that he picked them up, and that when he picked them up, that he could supernaturally let them run faster and be right back in the group that is pressing towards the mark, which is him. He gave our pastor a vision. I believe it was a vision of Dave jogging, and he was jogging by a playground, and all of the children were there. And, you know, wasn't that they were small, they were just in the playground. And in essence, he told Dave, don't stop and play in the playground. He was not saying that Dave was a man and everybody else was a child. He was just saying, I'm training you for the Olympics. I'm training you for a marathon. Don't stop running. And that was good. But then the Lord added to that, he said, if you stop and you go into the playground, you will become a bully. You, our pastor, you will become a bully and you will miss those children and you will hurt them. Go on and finish your course and win your race so you can help them. So, let's go back. Let's not go back. Let's go to Ephesians 4:21. If you are a reader of the present day speaking that the Lord brings forth to the prayer center, it's all out on the web. You're aware of that. There's copies made, etc., etc. The one overall wonderful thing is how pleased the Lord is with each one of you. Maybe you should say, the Lord is pleased with me. Now let's say it again. Like that? Like how that feels? Because that's what he's saying. No condemnation. Really no conviction. He is utterly, enthusiastically, thrilled and pleased with the progress that we've all made. He's just excited. Are you? He's pleased. He's really pleased. You bring him pleasure. You really bring him pleasure. Hard to believe, huh? If you hear your spirit, Your spirit is saying amen to that. That's the truth. That's the truth. That's the truth. My whole life in you, I'm really pleased. You're my great hope. Do you remember when he said that he needs you more than you need him? Remember when he said that? He said it more than once. How can that be? How can that be? When we first get saved, it's all about me. I've been set free. I feel happy. All the burdens are off. I'm excited. I can jump. I can run. It's all about me. All about me. And then a progression takes place, and it becomes all about him. You're the greatest, and he is. You're wonderful. You're more than wonderful. How can I ever do without you? On and on and on. But the final walk, it's all about us. It's all about him and me. And me and him. I certainly cannot get along without him. Done deal, right? Done deal. There ain't nothing left of Tim if he leaves me. Nothing. Nothing. But I know that he needs me. I know that he's counting on me. I know that he's counting on you. And as we study more and more and possibly get past, maybe this year we will possibly get past the introduction to Ephesians. Maybe. Just maybe. Because all that he's given us, I mean, if I gave a responsibility to someone and I give them, let's say I give them $100,000, and I give them the responsibility to do something, I'm totally depending on them to do it, and I've paid them to do it, and I sit back and wait until they do it and they accomplish it. The role that the Lord Jesus is in is he is sitting next to the Father waiting on us to accomplish everything that he's given us to accomplish. And he is thrilled when we only accomplish a portion of it. And I see him almost as a cheerleader saying, now let's take the next step. Let's take the next step. Because I have given you every single thing you need, far above anything that you can even think about or hope for. I've given it to you to accomplish and reestablish my Father's will on the face of this earth. You have all authority. You have it all. You are far above. Far above anything that could stop you from being, let's say, a success in establishing his kingdom. I say go to Ephesians. I'm going to read, I'm just going to read the scriptures that Gary referred to when he brought the message forth, we must walk in the truth. Ephesians 4:21 says, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. John 14:6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We could say it this way. I am the way you walk in truth. I am the truth you walk in. I am the life of truth you walk in. Outside of my truth, there is no life. Outside of my truth, there is no life. Outside of my truth is only death, only death. John 3, for I rejoice greatly when my brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. John 1, verses 14. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When the Lord Jesus came to this earth, the Father poured into him to where he became this full of grace and truth. If I spill this, don't tell Leah. Full. That means there's no room left for anything else. When you become born again, when you become born again, he took of himself and poured it into you. Overflowing of grace and truth. Not just truth. Not just truth. Grace and truth. John 1:17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, or grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Where I've missed it, and where I feel as though, not only do I feel as though I know so in my life, I have as part of my confessions, and the majority of my confessions now are inside of me, and I no longer have to read them off of a sheet. But one of the confessions is, I cry out for truth. Father, I want truth. Father, I absolutely have to have truth. Father, I must have truth. Through many circumstances, I've had much of the lies told to me, much of the deceptions, much of the half-truths, etc. I must have truth. I must have truth. But until this week, I did not realize, actually scary, that I have never cried out for grace. I feel as though in the realm of the Spirit, I have a half full glass of Him. Because I only cried out for truth. Now I know the years the canker worm has eaten will be made up like that. I know there's no condemnation. All those things. But for me to realize that if I didn't receive, you think it's by accident? Slow down, Tim. Do you think it's by accident? Or that the Holy Spirit made a mistake? And we know He didn't, but that He says that Jesus was full of grace and truth. Do you feel as though He made a mistake and He should have said, Jesus is full of truth and grace? Uh-uh. If you go through Ephesians, no, we're not in a hurry. I'm under the opinion now that I'm unable to receive the truth, to use all the authority that He has given me, to walk as a son, if I'm unable to receive the grace for the truth. Make sense? So I, as one, am going to begin to cry out for grace. I, for one, am going to go after grace. I thought it would just be given to me. You know, it's unmeritable, unearnable favor, you know. But the desires of my heart now, grace. I'm going to cry out for grace. And as we tell each other the truth, as we have fellowship one-on-one, I'm going to look right at you. You know, I'm going to say, when was the last time you asked for grace? When was the last time you cried out for it? Along with truth. I'll give you, nobody likes homework, but because of the hour, I was going to go through Ephesians. I recommend that you go through Ephesians and circle grace. A quick exercise and see the dependency that Paul was and had received a level of grace. Let's go to John chapter 8. Ephesians 4:15 says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Speaking the truth in love. I'd like to go to John chapter 8. Let me get there. And I'm going to give you something to wrap your brain around or your meditator around. Now, let's go to verse 42. There is a truth that is coming forth at a higher level of truth than ever before because we are mature enough to hear it. I pray that we're mature enough to do it, but for certain were mature enough to hear it, or the Holy Spirit wouldn't be speaking it. You know, he doesn't talk to you about anything that you don't have the potential to receive. All that he really wants you to do, he doesn't talk about the things that you can't do today. He only talks to each one of us about the things that we can accomplish. Why would he ever tell you, I want you to do this, and he already knows that there's no way you can do it based on where you are? No earthly father does that unless he's a tyrant or, you know, whatever. He only brings truth to us at the level that we can receive it. And by faith, he's believing we're going to do it or that we're going to learn to walk in it. He doesn't make fun of you by telling you something to do that he says, watch them. They'll never be able to do that. But I just wanted to show how powerful I was, because I can do it, but they can't. That's nowhere in him. He only brings truth to the level that you're walking in. And he brings the same amount of grace for you to accomplish it. But you will not accomplish that truth without the same amount of grace. Okay. Let's start in verse 42. If he told us in Ephesians that we were to speak the truth in love, there is no time that Jesus ever spoke, no matter what he spoke, that he did not speak the truth in love. We agree? We also know that he never spoke anything, that his father did not tell him to speak. More than once, he has said, I hear, and therefore I speak. And Father, everything you told me to say, I've said. There's nothing that you've told me to say that I didn't say. And everything that I said was truth. Verse 42, Jesus said unto them, that was the Pharisees, that was the religious leaders, etc., etc. You know, the I ams of the community. If God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my words. Verse 44. Ye are of your father, the devil. You imagine? That was said in love. That was said in grace. And that was said truth. Imagine? Jesus walking right up to you and saying, you know you're the you know your father is the devil. How would you like that? But it was said in love. It was said with grace, and it was truth. And the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. There's a difference between saying the truth and knowing the truth and having it in you. Make sense? The enemy, the devil himself, quoted scripture. So he said it, and for him to have said it, he had to know it, right? I mean, he had to somewhere hear God say, you know, the truth, and he remembered it, but it never was in him. It was never in him. Wherever that in part is where we have to become with all of the truth that has been presented here at the prayer center. It seems like, I think we're God's favorites, but I know we're not, but I like to think and say we're God's favorites with the amount of truth that has come forth at the prayer center for the last 20 years or more. And we've heard it, and we've heard it, and we've heard, and we enjoy it. I mean, it's just wonderful. And more truth, and more truth. Never a service you don't hear more truth. And we hear it, and we know it. I mean, my Ephesians, I have it on a sheet of paper. And when we felt like the Lord had said, read it 30 times. I don't know how many times you've read it. I don't know how many times you've listened to it. But most likely every one of you more than 30. And yet, talking about Tim now, not you. I don't know if any of it is in me. I know some of it, but until I get it in me, I'll never be able to walk by the truth. I mean, for the Lord to say that I'm far above every power and every principality, every ruler of darkness, and I'm seated with him. How many of you know that's the truth? I mean, it's a done deal. How many of you know that you don't wrestle against flesh and blood? But you wrestle against those same powers and principalities and rulers of darkness. And yet it seems like they have me pinned if I'm wrestling with them. And the referee is going, one, two, you know. I mean, I am not on top. I am by faith, and I am because the Word says it. But if I can take it from hearing it and knowing it and putting it inside of me, like Ephesians says, the truth was in Jesus. The truth was in Jesus. You know, I have no greater joy than to see you walking in the truth. How do we take it? Well, I know how we take it. But do you know how we take it from hearing it and getting it inside of us so that we can walk in it? Really, it goes back to doing the message. Really, it goes back to hearing the truth and doing the truth. John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, and he has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. I'm going to read a passage from the Lord's present day speaking. Some of you will recognize it. For the sake of those that are listening, I highly recommend that you go out to Gary Carpenter's website and get his face-to-face and download them and not only read them and not only hear them, but put them inside of you. Listen to the Lord. I operate in nothing but truth. When I make truth known unto my people, if they choose to reject the truth, I have no other commodities on the shelf. I have nothing else to serve. There is nothing else I can bring to them. I only bring truth. If they reject the truth and choose to believe a lie, then they, by their own choice, have separated themselves from my power. For there is nothing else I can bring them. I only bring truth. I bear long with those who do not yet understand the truth, even if they are operating in a lie. As long as they continue to seek truth, I will unfold it to them line upon line and precept upon precept. And even as knowledge of the truth is acquired by their progressively, I bear long with them as they gain courage to step out and act upon the truth. When I say I bear long, I bear long. Yet, there comes a time when truth is made fully known. There is nothing else required to learn regarding that truth. Sufficient knowledge has been acquired concerning the truth of that matter. At that point, I will never force them, but it is up to them then to choose life or death, to choose my power or weakness, to choose light or darkness, to choose obedience or rebellion. They must choose conformably with the truth. I have nothing else to serve them from the Master's table but truth. It is not so much that I reject them or cast them off from me. It is simply that they render me powerless in their lives by their rejection of the truth which I have brought. I have told you I can be grieved. More than anything else, rejection of the truth is what grieves the Spirit of grace. For rejection of the truth is what separates my people from the power of God. Let's go to Ephesians 4:25. I at least get this in. This is becoming my favorite verse. because I've already begun to see the fruit of it within this body. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. In closing, just let me address this truth. This truth, as it says, that we are to share this truth with our neighbor. It doesn't say share it with the world. It does not say share it with your enemies. The truth that he's saying here, he's saying share it with your neighbor, share it with your friend, because we're members one of another. This truth, only your neighbor has a right to hear it. The truth that he's talking about here. Lots of truth. The truth that he's talking about is the truth of who you really are. Because the world is not ever going to believe who you really are. So why share it with them until you can prove it? And when you prove it, they will become your neighbor. Instantly. My Lord heals. My Lord, I mean, cancer? Ain't no problem with that cancer. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, be healed. They are healed, they are whole, and now you can share with them this truth, because they have none of them that are not going to be your neighbor when that takes place. In any area. In any area. This type of truth, he is telling you who to share it with. He is not telling you who not to share it with. I would keep this type of truth to sharing with your neighbor. Because there's no way and there's no reason why you go through needless persecution or needless idle talk and argument when a carnal mind is enemy with God. Okay. And he, just before this, he explains who we all were in our mind prior to finding Christ. I mean, he just let us know we were reprobates, etc., etc., etc. We all were that. There's none of us that was not that. We're no longer that, because that, you know, that part of us is totally dead. It's already been buried. It's already gone. But there's no sense in causing you difficulty. Now, if the Holy Spirit tells you to do it, like Jesus did it to the Pharisees here and say, you're of the father of the devil. He was saying it in love to bring them to the place that they would become his neighbor, his friend. And accept him. Make sense? See you in a half an hour.